We've been talking a little bit on a new direction, a new series that we have called We Hold These Truths, and this morning we're going to do part two. We Hold These Truths, part two. Last week we began this series nailing down some very essential foundations for us, revisiting them, and the Apostle Peter said, I don't mind to put you in remembrance of these things. And last week we talked about salvation in who alone? In Jesus Christ alone. He is our only Savior. And we also talked about salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. Not by works, what? Lest any man should boast. So very essential foundations. Church, we need to know what we stand for and what we won't stand for. Now, all of these truths that we're talking about in these weeks are covered in this program that we have here in this church called Building Your Faith. And Building Your Faith is a complete teaching series about the foundations of our faith. It's questions and answers, and you fill them out as you go through some CDs of hour-long teachings that will help strengthen you in your foundations. And if you've already had such teaching, we urge you, if you have not listened to the program, to then revisit those foundations and see what truths we hold here. And you can never visit some of these foundations enough. How many of you think you repent once 30 years ago and that's enough for your life in the Lord? Don't you wish? How many repented again already this morning? Every hand. Okay. Thou shalt not lie. Put up your hands. I see that. All right. But it's important to make sure you know what you believe. What truths that are held crucially in the body of Christ and biblical truths. The Bible is our foundation for faith and practice. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. If you'll turn there, please. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible. There are Bibles in the back if you need one. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. As we take a look at these things, let's look and see what the Scripture says and why all of this is important. Now I plead with you, brethren, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all, what does it say? Speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you should be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now again, building your faith is a three-part series. The first five lessons are building your faith, second five, building your church, and the third, building your ministry. I've had people say to me, how do I join Grace Christian Center? Begin with building your faith. And we give you a coach to walk through those things with you if you have any questions or just to be a friend, because there's several purposes in building your faith. One is a revisiting of the foundation. Secondly is understanding what we believe here. And thirdly is building friendships if you're new to the congregation. And so the church is blessed as we grow in grace together. All right, let's go on for another couple of points today. These truths, we hold these truths. And this is part two. And we want to talk about understanding God's ways. Whose ways?
God.
Most important to understand the ways of God, isn't it? You know, a lot of you live in the Port Ludlow Resort. Most of you are mostly glad that you do. Some of you are glad that you don't. But when you move into a place that has the resort, it has covenants, restrictions, regulations, CC&R's codes, covenants and restrictions, or regulations. You understand that it's important to review those documents. You need to know, what's the way of this community? How do I know whether I like it or not? How do I know what I need to do? That I can't just put a big, huge orange sign out if I belong to the resort. And that's a little a joke for our team there, if anybody was listening. Anyway, maybe even a great big orange sign on the corner saying, Grace Christian Center meets here. Okay, all right. Anyway, so if you're in the resort, you pay attention to those CC&Rs. What are the ways? All right, let's see understanding God's ways. Let's go to the next scripture, and that is Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. I'm going to read it out of a couple of translations for you. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's see what it says out of the Message translation. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work, God's decree. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. How many believe it's important, therefore, to get up to the way God thinks? And it's different than what we think. The problem is, church, as a whole, mankind is left behind studying, reading, trying to apply personally the Word of God. The Bible's been kicked out of our society. We don't want it anymore. We don't want its old-fashioned ways to put harnesses on us. And we don't want somebody telling us what we do is not right or socially acceptable. And so what's happened is we have come adrift on this big sea where the waves go up and the waves go down. Or maybe it's like the shifting sands of a desert you can't pass through. I remember when my son, how many remember when new math came out? Had trouble mastering the old math, much less the new math. The new math I'd look at and I'd go, son, I can't help you. So my son, I remember he was trying to look at this math and he just had trouble getting through it. And with tears in his eyes, talk about compassion for him. With tears in his eyes, he looked at me one day after trying and trying and getting help and getting help. He says, Dad, I feel like I'm on a bicycle stuck in the sand, and I'm trying to bike through the deep sand. That's what our country is like, trying to live without the Word of God. The Bible is our foundation for faith and practice. It's the root of our country. It's the foundation of our nation and our principles, our laws, the Ten Commandments, all of those things. But you throw them away, and what you've got is this shifting morass of shifting opinions, and you don't have anything solid. Remember what the Bible says? The fear of the Lord is the what? All right, God knew how to get what He needed in 10 commandments. You ever seen the volume of laws that come out every year from the state, much less the federal government? We replace God's Word with our understandings and bring confusion. So, as the generations are taught, so goes our country. How many know who Josh McDowell is? Josh McDowell is a Bible teacher. He's been around a long time and quite very good materials that Josh puts out overall. There's a chart I want you to see this morning that talks about the thinking that was present in the adult generation and the thinking that's present in the new generation today. You need to know, we all need to know, what is it that's in the thinking of the next generation coming up? The next generation who will become our leaders? The next generation of people that we're trying to lead to the Lord and give them some foundations in our life. Watch this. What do you think? And how is it different than how they think? Pat, let's take it. We're just going to take it a block at a time. You pray for Pat. She does wonderfully for us, all right? And I keep her hopping here. Okay. Oh, she did it. Perfect. Okay. Your understanding. Can you see that little, focus it? There we go. All right. What's your understanding? Our understanding, basically, in this room. Tolerance. There's this thing called tolerance. What was that for us? Accepting others without agreeing with. Without agreeing with or sharing their beliefs and lifestyle choices. You know what that is for today's generation? Let's take a look. Tolerance. What is tolerance? Accepting that each individual's belief, values, lifestyles, and truth claims are equal. Now that sounds very nice until you realize not everything out there, folks, is truth. There is the Word of God. There is right and there is wrong. And truth is defined by God's Word. And this generation coming up today says, it's all truth. Let's go on. The next one. Respect. What is respect? We believe giving due consideration to others' beliefs and lifestyle choices without necessarily approving of them. Don't you agree? I mean, isn't that what we would say? You know, I may not agree with you. In fact, I don't agree with you. I'll still do my best to love you. God loves the sinner, hates the sin. All right? What is today? Wholeheartedly approving of others' beliefs of lifestyle choices. We're talking a generation, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. We're talking about a major shift into we're just going to accept and love everybody, right? Love is not the issue. Truth, right or wrong, is. Let's go on. What is acceptance? Well, to us, acceptance is embracing people for who they are, not necessarily for what they what? Say or do. All right? Let's look at the new generation. What do they think? Endorsing and even praising others for their beliefs and their lifestyle choices. What do you see happening? Who can tell me? What do you see happening, just even in the three we've gone through? What do you see? No more absolutes. How many think absolutes are important? There's right and there's wrong. That's the basis and fundamental of our laws in this country. If there's no more wrong, why should you send anybody to jail? Why should there even be a penal system? Why should you worry about trying to transform anybody's life in anything? All right? Yes, Katie?
Moral degeneration.
Moral degeneration. You see anything here about the Romans 1 road? And God gave them over? Romans 1, Romans 2, when you see that people continue to choose to do what's right in their own eyes, choose wickedness, choose sin, and pretty soon they become dull to conviction, and God gave them over. And God gave them over. Look at what's happening in our country. All right, let's go on. The next one. Moral judgments. We believe in our generation certain things are morally right and wrong as determined by who? Okay, real loud, say it with me. It's determined by who?
God.
You mean God is real?
Yes.
God exists?
Yes.
And His Word is true?
Yes.
Let's see if that's true. To the new generation, we have no right to judge another person's view or behavior. That's carrying to extreme that self-esteem message, that message of you just got to love everybody. And that becomes tolerance for everybody and everything. And that becomes acceptance. And now I'm not just going to accept you, I'm going to praise you because you can do whatever is right in your own eyes. Love is not letting people think that everything they do is true. Love is loving people enough to say, there's a different way. Otherwise, church, do you see what's happening in this column? Who needs to evangelize anybody? Evangelism, lead people to Christ. Why would you? Who needs to come to Christ? After all, there are many ways of salvation. Do you see what's going on? You're quiet this morning, but you're all tracking, right? It's serious, folks. This is our nation. This is what's happening. All right, let's go on for the next one. Personal preferences. Preferences. You can exercise preferences. Our generation, what? Believed, color, clothes, food, clothing style, hobbies. Personally determined. The new generation, what do they think? Preferences of sexual behaviors, value systems, and beliefs are personally determined. Yes, you make choice. But personal preference, sexual preference, it's all an agenda that the new generation has bought into. Okay, now, okay, guys, I know this is a little bit heady, but hang in here with me. What we have done in our country is we've said we're not going to stand up very strong for what's right and wrong. So the church has given, by its failure to stand, the church has said, fine. And so consequently, the church is losing the high ground of the proclamation of the truth. Because we don't stand for much anymore. How many want to stand for Jesus and for truth? Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. By the royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Amen.
Not very many people singing that song anymore.
Nope.
It's not popular. What's the next one? Personal rights. Everybody, we believe, has a right to be treated equally under the law. Mm-hmm. Notice that last little phrase. Under the law. Now, if you're anything like me, you understand there was a time in your life when you were a tiny bit lawless. But you still knew there was a law. Okay? Let's see. Today, everybody has the right to do what he or she believes is best for himself or herself. Do you understand? When you've got this ingrained in your spirit and in your soul, why would you stand for the penal system? Why put that much effort? Everybody can do what's right. All right, let's go on. And I think this is the last one, right? Or is there two more? All right. Freedom. Being free to do what you know, say it with me, what you ought to do. All right, we understand that. I'm free to do what I ought to do. What's the new generation thing? Say it with me, please. Being able to do anything you want to do. That's freedom. That's not freedom, that's anarchy. And that leads to the loss of freedom, because the next step after that is tyranny and dictatorship. Because somebody will rise up to control the chaos. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the next step? An absolute standard of right or wrong. We believe in that. It was slipping some in our era, but we believe in that. Folks, if we didn't believe in that, why would we have fought World War II? If we didn't believe in that, why would we stand against some of the things we stood up against historically in our country? Why would we do? Because there's right, there's wrong. And there's that which is to be stood for. A man of God, a woman of God must know what you stand for and what you won't stand for. Now, I like people to like me. But guess what? I'm more committed to the truth than I am to popularity. Amen? You too? Now, I'd love everybody to love me. Love, love, love. All you need is love. Da, 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 da. I'd love that. And we all can put up the 60 psychedelic colors. And we go, tripping out, baby, love. I wish life was that way. I wish it was. There's a different definition of love. God's way. All we do need is God's love. There's a very important person put in that sentence. All right? What is it now? Whatever is right for you. That's truth. Is that true?
No.
It's not true. And this has become the thinking in one generation where there's a lack of discipline and we kick out the schools. Listen, kick the Bible out of the schools. If you don't think that was one of the most serious things and the crossroads we faced and failed at in our country, that is seriously one of the biggest errors we ever made in our land. Now our people believe in this thing called separation of church and state. And it's a misinterpretation of what Jefferson even wrote. He wrote it in a letter. It's not even in the Constitution. He wrote it in a letter to a Baptist convention. And the whole issue of our forefathers and what they birthed in our country was that the church would not be controlled by the state government. But it doesn't mean the church didn't rise up with righteousness to affect our elections and to raise up righteousness, righteous men and women into office. Listen, church, I know it's quiet in here, but we have a national election this year, and I don't ever tell anybody to vote. But I do say, exercise your stewardship to vote, and as Christians, we better be on our knees before God. You better examine who. You better examine the why. You better examine the platform. If you don't think we're in serious days, church, we are. We need God in America today.
Amen.
Come on, somebody turn to each other and say, you know, he's preaching it right.
Amen.
Not here to tell you how to vote. The answer isn't Democrat or Republican. The answer is Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But we need God in America today. What you believe determines how you live. What you believe leads to what you do. And people, as a church, we need to know what we believe. All right, these truths we hold. Let's go on to really what's points 3 and 4. Last week we did 1 and 2. What's our next one? The Bible is God's Word. Say amen or oh no.
Amen.
The Bible is God's Word, the sure Word of truth. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Every word of God is what?
Pure.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Pure.
Luke 4, verse 4. Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I think I left up the Eaton Dictionary perspective on the Bible. Yeah, Eaton's Bible Dictionary. Watch this. The Bible consists of 66 different books composed by many different authors or writers in 3 different languages. What were they? Hebrew, Greek, and Chaldean. Hebrew, Greek, and Chaldean. All right. In 3 different languages. under different circumstances, writers of almost every social rank, statesmen, peasants, kings, herdmen, fishermen, priests, tax gatherers, tent makers, educated and uneducated, Jews and Gentiles, most of them unknown to each other, writing at various periods during the space of about how many years? 1600 years. And yet, after all, it's how many books?
One
book, dealing with only one subject. And in its numberless aspects and relations, the subject of man's what?
Redemption.
Relationship with God. What a powerful miracle we have when we hold the Bible in our hands. What a powerful miracle it is when we study the Word and have Him write it in our heart and mind. Romans 15, verse 4. Whatever things were written were before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Throughout the ages, people turn to the Scriptures when they need hope. Forgiveness, deliverance, peace. One of the most beautiful things throughout the years that I loved about the Gideons was the tracts or the Bibles that they would give to the nurses, and the Bibles they would give to the soldiers, and the Bibles they would pass out in our schools. Because when you're in the foxhole or when you're in the hospital, you need the Word of God to be your comfort, your solace, and your peace. Anybody here ever received peace from reading the Word of God? You bet. And day by day, even if you didn't get a lot of heavy revelation, there's strength and peace to your soul, knowing somebody bigger is there, knowing that God hears and God helps and God delivers and God sees and God forgives. Where do you read about this wonderful God? In the Bible. Abraham Lincoln, you probably know, would take hours every day while he was president, and he would pray and read the Word. And on his worst days, where the schedule was the most full, instead of cutting it in half, he would double his time in reading the Word and in prayer. And people would say, how do you have time for that? And isn't God on our side? And his answer was very telling. It matters not whether God is on our side, but whether or not we are on the side of God. And that's why he spent time in prayer, clearing his heart and mind. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. You've magnified your word above all your name. Say it with me. You have magnified your word above all your name. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now I know I'm reading these quickly this morning, but I purposely have a lot of Scripture involved. If you're taking notes, feel free to come and see me afterwards, but I have them up here so you can see the Word of God. I want everybody to be able to see it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. Who do you think He's talking about?
Jesus.
John 1, verse 14. And the Word, who is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but what came through Jesus Christ?
Grace
and truth. For all ages, the Bible's been the best-selling book of all time. From the Gutenberg Press on, that which was printed and put into the hands of common man. Religion of that day. Remember how much those who printed the Bible in the early days were bloodied and martyred because they wanted everybody to have the Scriptures? But they put the Bible into the hands of God's people. So there's freedom, there's deliverance, there's hope, there's the way to God, and it shows us how to be the church. Church, the Bible is our text, our foundation for all life and practice. Somebody say amen. The Bible, the foundation for all life and practice. I'm going to tell you just one other point, and then I'm going to move on. There are a lot of churches, many churches, and the person who founded this movement has repented over some of the influence he's had in this way. There are a lot of churches who are what's called seeker sensitive. They want to be sensitive to the guest and visitor. And we don't want to, we want to love the guest and visitor, right? In fact, we don't even call them visitors. We call them guests because a visitor sounds like somebody's just going to visit one time and go. A guest is always welcome in our home.
Amen.
All right? So we love the guests, but we don't worship the guests. What does that mean? Some people have compromised so much that they barely even use a scripture in their morning service because they don't want to create guilt or condemnation or really conviction for people. They don't want people to feel uncomfortable. May I tell you one of the commitments that I believe we should hold on to as a church? I would far rather feel conviction now in order to get right with God than to be under conviction and feel guilt for eternity because I never got right with God. Do you follow what I'm saying? How many would rather feel a little uncomfortable now and be right with God? So the Bible is our foundation, our text for all life and practice. Can you all say amen?
Amen.
Okay. Let's go on. We believe the Holy Spirit is still moving today. Somebody say amen to me.
Amen.
Point number two. We believe the Holy Spirit is still alive and well. He's still punch somebody in the arm and say, the Holy Spirit's still alive and kicking. The Holy Spirit's still alive and He's still moving. Luke 24, verse 29. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Be clothed with dunamis, the dynamite power of God. That's what that word means. Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, and then I'll do verse 8. Being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from me. John truly baptized with water. You should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Something to look forward to. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say, amen, Pastor Kev.
Amen.
It's a miracle, Pastor Kev. Verse 8, but you shall receive what?
Power.
Say it with me. But you shall receive power. When? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You should be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. That Greek word, as we've just talked about, dunamis, is dynamite, force, miraculous power of God that comes upon you. Now look what the scripture says, Acts 2, verses 1 and through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all, say it with me, filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what is the Bible saying in these scriptures? Jesus is saying to His disciples, now you gotta wait on God. You gotta go wait to get the extraordinary. You gotta get some extra onto your ordinary in order to be anointed to go do the work of God. You gotta get the extraordinary. You cannot do the works of God in your own strength. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's why this isn't just a social club. Church isn't just a social club. It takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit to change your heart and change your life, doesn't it? I mean, at the Rotary Club, did you learn how to grow in grace? At your Chamber of Commerce luncheon, did you learn about how to grow closer to Jesus? Come on, let's see the show of hands. It takes a dynamic work of grace. It takes something extra. And Jesus said, I want you to wait until you receive something extra that's going to help you live this life. Not just the breath of God, but the rushing mighty wind of God, the unction, the power, the anointing. Pastor Bishop Ulmer, or Kenneth Ulmer rather, the president of Life Bible College, we were just with him a couple of weeks ago, and he said this, the message of the Holy Spirit must not be lost or lowered as an optional extra. We need His moving today. How many want to see God move today? Come on, church. I really want to know. How many want to see God move today? We keep praying for revival. What do you think it's going to look like? It better look like something different than what we know, shouldn't it? If it's just everything church as usual, ho-hum. We have a pretty good service. We enjoy being with the Lord. But when God moves, we'll know. Amen?
Amen.
We want to see Him move. Every day. Every day of our lives. Grace Christian Center is a charismatic church. We're a Spirit-filled congregation. The Greek word charisma or charismata is the gifts of the Spirit. Church, we believe the gifts of the Spirit are still active and present today. How many believe it? You go to the book of Acts and it didn't come to an end. It didn't come to an end. The charismata, the charisma, the charis of God, the gift of God, and the gifts of God are still available in the body of Christ today. And we believe it. Listen, you know, some people, we've talked about many things. How can we encourage growth and what can we do? Listen, I want to tell you something about the name, Grace Christian Center. How many understand the church is to be the center of life, activity, and the anointing of God in the community? The center of that life and activity. Okay, you don't name something for what it is, but what it's going to become. Remember, Abram wasn't the father of a multitude, and God changed his name and said, I'm calling you Abraham. He didn't have a kid yet. And he goes around and they say, what's your name? He goes, Abraham. My name's Abraham. Well, let me see the multitude, because Abraham means father of a multitude. Where's your multitude? Ain't got any. Grace Christian Center, let's see the center of life and activity. Okay, well, it's coming along. Somebody punch each other and say, amen, it's coming along. And then look at each other and say, we're here to help. Listen, if you will Google Christian Center, you'll find hundreds and hundreds of Christian centers throughout the nation and throughout the world. Do you understand the biggest church in America doesn't have anything like church in its name? You know what it's called? The Potter's House. The biggest churches in the state of Washington don't have it in their name. Right? Christian Center. Champion Center. You'll take a look at current move of God, and a lot of the things that identified the background are no longer in there, so you don't know what they are. It's up to us to communicate what we are. It is up to us. And so we can do a better job of communicating, hey, folks, we're a church. But there's the present move of the Holy Spirit that we don't want to give up. How many want to see God move more than we've seen Him? Spirit of God, blow with your wind. Breathe on us. Blow on us. Move on us. Stand the coals. God, move. We want to see you move today. We need you to move. And we need to be praying as a congregation like our very life depends on it. God, move or we won't even want to get up and go anywhere. If you don't come, then it doesn't make sense to go. We don't need just another service. What we need is the rushing mighty wind of God. What we need is the presence of God. What we need is the blood of the Lamb being more present than ever and the presence of God that changes our lives. What we need is the moving of the Holy Spirit so people come under conviction and say, what must I do to be saved? Amen. That's what happened in the early church, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What must I do to be saved? They say, repent, be baptized. Oh, and guess what? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, verses 17 and 18, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and my maid servants I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Acts 2, 38 and 39, Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm not here to force anything on anybody, but a welcome opportunity when He says, you shall receive this. What a gift from the Lord. For the promise is to you, to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Verse 8 of chapter 1, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me. That word witness is the Greek word martus, and it literally means a martyr. You'll be a living martyr to the presence of God. Be witnesses. All right, I'm going to do some quick verses here. John 17, verse 4. I have glorified you, Jesus says. This is the words of Jesus. Listen to this. I've glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work which you've given me to do. Out of the message. I've glorified you on the earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. John 17, verse 4, out of the NIV. I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. How many believe when Jesus says He glorified God, that He glorified God? He's our standard for glorifying God, isn't He? Don't you think? I mean, when you want to take a look at how did somebody glorify God, how's that fulfilled? Who do you look at? And what does He say? How did you do it? He did His work. Whatever He has done, that's what it means to glorify God. And what He says He did was complete His task. Down to the very last detail of what God has given Him to do. I've completed the task You've given me. Church, what's the task Jesus has given you? You might look at me and say, Pastor Kev, I'm retired. Well, are you retired from the purpose and plan of God? No way. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why our hearts are still beating this morning. To the last breath, we are called to glorify God. We are not here by accident. We've got an assignment from God. You're placed in the kingdom for such a time as this. Look at each other and say, you're here for God's reason. God's got a reason for you. A reason for you. You're here by placement, not by accident. Okay. I want to talk to you for just a moment. I want to tell you a little story. Maybe you related to this. How many got straight A's in school all the way through? We want to bow before you. There was a student in college who hated this one class. Had no idea why he even signed up for it. Hated it. Loving Christian guy, but just hated this class. He went to the first couple so he could find out what the assignments were for the semester, and then he said, I'm not even going to go to that class. I know what the final assignment is. And the final assignment, he was going to get his whole grade from. The whole grade from one paper that had to be written. So he didn't go to class. He did other priorities, messed around, did all sorts of things. And finally, just a few days before the assignment was due, he wakes up and goes, oh my gracious, I got an assignment I got to do in order to pass this class. I don't know why he thought he could do it this way, but nobody else in this room ever skipped classes. I know that. So he says, okay, I got a paper I got to write. So this man starts cramming. Now, if you're anything like me, you ever cram? Not a good way to learn for your test, is it, huh? You know, you cram, forget about it the moment the test is over. Anyway, so he's in the library, he's working hours, and he's getting texts and documentation, and he's cramming, and he's writing this paper then, and then finally, he's worked on this masterpiece. He's got the documents that he needs, and all the texts, and all the footnotes, and he turns in his paper, whew, thank God, that's done. Comes time to get his paper back. Opens it up. Great big red letters. Superb paper. Excellent documentation. Fantastically written. Marginal notes all the way through this paper. Superb paper. Big red letters. Excellently done. Superb documentation. Next page. This is superb paper. Excellently done. Great documentation. Turns to the back page. Superb paper. Great documentation. Excellently written. Grade F. This was not the assignment. Each of us has an assignment from God. We have God's assignment. And at the very least, church, that assignment is go and make disciples. Don't just go preach. Don't just go lead them to initial salvation. Go, the Bible says, and make disciples. As we lift it up, go therefore, Matthew 28, verse 19. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Church, Jesus has called us to penetrate the world as salt and light. He's called us to go, but first to wait, to get the anointing to carry out that assignment. The Bible says this is too important to just try to go do it in your own power. But you shall receive power after you are endued with the Spirit of God. Go in the power of the Spirit of God. You don't just say, I'm his witness. Because the Bible says, and you shall be what? Witnesses. You don't just say I'm his witness because I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. Or I play one on television. Or maybe we should, or I play one in church. We can't back off the anointing of the Spirit of God as the message. Because it says, as you receive the Spirit of God, you shall be witnesses. Now, when you go into a court of law, and Elaine, if you come, we'll quit. If you go into a court of law, if you just go in and tell what you've heard, you know, that's called hearsay. Is hearsay admissible in a court of law? If you just tell what you believe, that's conjecture. Is conjecture admissible in a court of law? If you really want to be a witness, you've got to tell the truth about what you know and about what you've experienced. You've got to be a witness. So he keeps working with us for what we are, to be his witnesses. Hold to the Word of God. In all you're getting, get the Word of God. Say with me, in all you're getting, get the Word of God. And in all you're getting, get the Holy Spirit. Say it with me, in all you're getting, get the Holy Spirit. These truths we hold. You might look at me and say, Pastor Kev, this is real basic. It's all right. Let's make sure that we are the witnesses of God. We love people and we want to bring them life. And the best way to do that? By bearing his anointing and being his witness. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you together today. We thank you for your living word and we thank you for your Spirit. Lord, here we are, hands upraised, candidates for your moving and for your anointing. We love you and receive you and worship you, Lord. Thank you. We are willing, just right from the beginning of this service, right here to now, we say again, we are willing. Move upon us by your Spirit and help us, Lord, to be your witnesses. And all the church said, amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you need healing in your body, we invite you to come. And we'll be honored to pray with you. If you need to surrender your life to the Lord, you've not done that, we invite you to come. If you want prayer for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, God is moving in that way, we invite you to come. We'll be honored to pray with you. Have a fantastic week in the Lord.